blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I, my Savior, am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Number 237. I know now why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor I am worthy Christ in love redeemed before his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded.
Heavenly Father, we're just grateful for the sacrifice your Son made for us and that he died and suffered on that cross. Father, as we take this emblem this morning, it represents that broken body. Father, we pray that who take of it do so in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, as we continue, we thank you for this fruit of vine, which represents the precious blood that was shed for us. Father, we pray that who can take of it do so in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. believe we have the opportunity to give back at this time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for all you do for us and the many blessings we receive every day. Father, we give back today. Father, we pray we'll give back with a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We have 24 present this morning. Today is August 2nd, 2020, for taking purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our songbooks at number 673, the song of invitation. Once you've marked that, let's turn to number 578. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He
Our study today resounds in the idea of our lifestyle and life. The Bible tells us very clearly that Jesus came to give us life and that he might give it to us more abundantly. The idea of living life from day to day is a concept in the Bible of being a part of living from the standpoint of our own physical being and lifestyle from the standpoint of how we behave. I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, he said. The idea of living the abundant life means for you and me to practice a way of life that will cause us to be enjoying what we do. Can we enjoy a falsehood that is told? When it is discovered and pointed out to us that we have not told the truth, if it dealt with the home, and dealt with the car, or dealt with our drive, or dealt with anything about life, we would be deceiving ourselves if we were that way. The Bible tells us that we ought to be people who enjoy that way of life, that it is an abundant way of living. Back in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, at verse 11, he says, I looked again under the sun and saw that the race is not always to the swift, and the victory is not always to the strong, but time and chance happeneth to it all. Time and chance happeneth to it all. The scripture affirms to you and me that we can't be so settled and so sure that somebody who is very well-to-do and very wealthy out is going to have bread always. The wise do not always have bread, he says. Time and chance happeneth to it all. There are situations in life where a cramp makes a world of difference in a racer around the track. It's where a tire that is down makes a world of difference in a speed around the place too. And so it is the idea that they are not there and as a result have that kind of real awareness. To be so settled and so certain that this one's going to win, this one's going to do it for sure, is not always the case, not always true. When we find ourselves enjoying life from day to day, he goes on to tell us in Proverbs in reference to this matter in chapter 23 and verse 13. He says, the prudent man, the wise man, foreseeth danger ahead and hideth himself, guardeth himself. The same thing is noted in Proverbs 27 and verse 12. When the prudent man is watching ahead, seeing that there is danger there, he'll guard himself, he'll hide him, he'll protect himself. That is the wise man. As we find that wisdom discovered there, it's called a prudent man. Prudent man in his ways of life looks about around where he is. And when the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, we're looking around using the Word of God to compare what we're fixing to say or what we're fixing to do or how we're fixing to behave to the things that the Lord in His Word has said. And we find ourselves enjoying life and lifestyle at the same time. In Jesus' words there in John chapter 10, beginning verse 10, when He said, I am come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. He went on in the next seven verses of that chapter to talk about situations that he would face himself. And in chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, he said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, John 10 and verse 18. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Notice in this regard, Jesus knew of his ultimate death. The Hebrew writer tells us that he suffered greatly because of the thoughts about that. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, it is noted regarding Jesus at the time in which he was here upon this earth and the circumstances of life when he faced that. He says in verse 7 of Hebrews 5, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to them that obey him. You and I can have life because he had life. He had life that was so in his body that he did not wish it to go through the hour of death. He offered in prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him who was able to save him from death. The Father wished that he carry out that will, though. And as he carried out that will, he carried our sins in his own body upon the cross. And by the blood that was shed, he cleansed those sins. When you and I came to the point about obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, we found a real victory from that. In our life, we can now live effectively before God, having a hope of heaven itself. He became the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. If we obey him, we'll find that blessing. So many times in life, however, we find ourselves in a religious movement that does not have the obedience of the Lord's word and the Lord's will in their lives. They have the idea of enjoying a particular service, having a fun time with a service of worship, and having a time of that going on steadily. They're content and leaving that place spiritually, thinking that they are really rewarded and that God's going to bless them eternally. But he is the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. If we're not obeying him, is he the author of eternal salvation for us? When we teach our little children as they go along through life that there are dangers that are up ahead, and watch and guard yourself from those problems and pitfalls that will happen. Are we not teaching them the right things of the Lord as Solomon back there in Ecclesiastes described? Are we not people who are helpful to our lives when we find ourselves looking around us and seeing the dangers that are there and guarding, hiding ourselves as a result of that time? The way of life for us to live is a way of life that is said to be solid and good. And as we do that, we find ourselves enjoying life. As we spread that word to others, we can't do it in such a way that it will drive them away. We can't nag at them, Proverbs 29:1. It is talked about, the idea of nagging at a person. Rewarded? No. It's not going to be rewarded. It is a sad situation when there is griping and fussing and complaining at someone's conduct in life. But if we find ourselves from time to time mentioning something, as time to time voicing a word of prayer for that individual's decision making in life, and even in front of them and before them, recognizing that we call upon God to bless their daily walk of life and to be sure as they can be of the things that they say and believe and do, then we have an opportunity to get them back in the Bible, back into what the Word of God says, and what is to be practiced by that way of life. When the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 were summarily challenged with the idea that they had murdered the Son of God, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were not content to remain where they were. They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The Apostle Peter told them, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Notice in this regard that they would receive the salvation from their sins, they would have the cleansing from their sins, and they would also have the gift of the Spirit of God. That Spirit of God is said in Romans 8:24 and following, to be by abiding in our spirit that we are the children of God. We'll have that kind of faith lived out in our lives. A faith that was obedient on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 was a faith that they continued to have in Romans 8, and tell them that they really were enjoying that relationship with God. If we're enjoying a relationship with God, it's a different feeling in our lives when we go to sleep at night. For if we find ourselves forgetting about God and never thinking about God, never thinking about his word as we go through our daily walk of life, it's for sure that we likely are going to get into some things and see some things and be a part of things that are not going to be helpful to us. But if we do have that idea in mind that God goes with us as we drive, God goes with us as we talk, God goes with us as we behave, then we will be people who want to please him as he goes with us. And as we do that, we find ourselves overjoyed to see the outcome of it is a blessing of God himself. The brethren were giving people. And in 2 Corinthians, in reference to their way of life, we read where the brethren were encouraged to give because there was a great need. A famine was coming through the region of Judea. And there was a great need for them to have the time of their gifts and contributions to help them in a physical way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, reference is made to the fact that they gave. He says in verse 19 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, "And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace which was ministered us to the glory of the same Lord in declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which was administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of God, but in the sight of all men." Notice that the contribution was given and that Titus was coming to take that contribution to them and to the needs that were being ministered. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he continues the thought and he says regarding this way of life, "While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." When we contemplate the idea of helping somebody in a time of need, helping brethren in this situation in a time of need, they who had praise sent back to them for the help that had been rendered, the joy of life was a part of that way of life. And they were said to be people who rejoiced in the fact that they glorified God in the process of what they were doing. They were subject to God's will. They were subject to the gospel teaching. They were liberal in their distribution unto all men. And they found themselves overjoyed to have this relationship with God and with their brethren at the same time. What a good work you've done. What a good service is done. It is noted to you and me in the book of Revelation how that we will find ourselves toward the very end of time going forth to that very idea. Go with me to Revelation, the last chapter of the Bible, in chapter 22. And in chapter 22, we find the following about this place called heaven itself and the ways of it. He says in verse 6 of Revelation chapter 22, "These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of holy prophets sent his angel to show unto you, his servants, the things which must shortly be done." The book of Revelation was not a book written in such a way that we are yet looking forward to a time when this revelation will be complete. But to the idea that it was complete and that the idea was truthful and accurate in that day and time. And so he said that in chapter 1 and verse 3, and he mentions it again, "these things which will shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things." Notice that he says of himself, that's what I did. That was something that John, the apostle of the Lord, should not have done. He should not have been bowing to the angel, praising the angel for the revelation that he had just been given. "Thus he said unto me, then he saith unto me, see ye thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God." That's the one to worship. Not to bow down to the angel and worship him. This is the second time in the book of Revelation John is bowed to the angel. He was revealing so many details to him and so much that he was so proud to know it and happy to know it from this angel that he bowed down at his feet. He said, "Do not do this. I am like you. I'm a fellow servant of God. Worship God." The idea of worship God only. He's the one that we worship. What will that do to our lives? Well, Jesus said that in John 10. "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord and I can take it up again." The idea that Jesus was going through this time that was not an enjoyable time for him. With bitterness and tears, he found himself in prayer to the Father that there be some other way. If there's another way, let this way be passed. Deliver me from this. But it was not another way. He went to the cross bearing our sins in his own body upon the tree. He went to the cross into the tomb of death. He found himself among the dead 3 days and nights. But the Father's word he found was true. Not that he ever denied it or doubted it. You and I should not doubt his word either. The idea that we will rise again from the dead is a very statement made. And to Jesus, he realized his Father was doing it factually, because on the third day, the stone was rolled back and he walked out of that tomb. He didn't get up and leave it in such a fast way. I'm persuaded that he got up from his death, that he took off the grave clothes that were there binding him. He folded them and put them in a place where everybody who came in there would see. He was not in a rush to leave. He was not in a rush because he feared that they would come and put him to death again, and all this sort of thing go on. He was a powerful, powerful Son of God. And he took off those clothes and put them in a place to leave the scene. When others came to see that, they pointed out the idea that these clothes were here left. What did he do? He followed his Father's will, became the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. Let's be people who love life and love these opportunities of good days and find ourselves rejoicing in what's being coming. He goes on to say here in Revelation 22 the following, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophets of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things written in this book. He that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. His time of coming will be a place in which he finds people that are thrilled for him to be there, thrilled to be present, thrilled to come and be a part of his kingdom and his life. But then there are those that at his coming, Revelation 6 tells us, who will run to the hills and hide themselves among the rocks, and say the rocks fall upon us and hide us from his wrath that will come upon us. What did they know about how they lived? A lifestyle that was ready to meet him, a ready lifestyle of hope, a lifestyle of peace and joy? No, they realized that their lifestyle was one that was not full of life. It wasn't full of good. It wasn't the abundant life they lived. And they asked for the rocks to hide them from him. Reckon they'll be successful. Would you come to Jesus as we stand and we sing?
God is calling, the Christ will come with happy land. Hear, O hear, and call. Though you wandered so far from his presence, come today. Hear, O hear, it dwells calling still. Calling now for thee. Calling now for thee. Oh, weary prodigal, come. Weary prodigal, come. Calling now for thee.
That each one of you will stay clear of and be free from the virus that is still going on and still being in increasing numbers in our state of Mississippi now. It's still increasing in number. Even in our county, it seems to be the case. So be cautious as you go along. And as they say, the mask helps us as well as what else?
We do.
Social distancing.
So social distancing is being practiced after service today. And though I don't shake your hand, you'll understand why. I give you space and time. We love you and appreciate you back that you're here today. Look forward to seeing you if you can tonight at 6 o'clock and Wednesday evenings at 7. God bless you, everyone. And high and holy lay my soul, her grateful voice would raise. For who can sing the worthy praise of the wonderful love of Jesus? Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love. Wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day we can come and worship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for this good lesson Brother Robert has brought us this morning. Thank you for our song leader, best of this church. He is the one that needs our prayers, especially the one that lost loved ones. Bless thy name, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.